Individual bright stars are drawn together to form golden letters, the logo for United Artists, an MGM company. In bold red letters against a black background, CinemaScope. Tall trees grow next to a fast-flowing river, a cluster of teepees on the far bank. Kirk Douglas stars in The Indian Fighter. Also starring Walter Matthau, Diana Douglas and Walter Abel, with Lon Chaney, Edouard Franz, Alan Hale, Alicia Cook, Ray Teal, Frank Kaoi, Michael Winkleman, William Phipps, Harry Landers and Hank Warden. Introducing Elsa Martinelli, screenplay by Frank Davis and Ben Hecht, original story by Ben Kaddish, songs by Irving Gordon and music by Franz Waxman. The film was produced by William Shaw and directed by André de Toth. Onati, a pretty Indian girl with straight shoulder-length black hair, is undressing in a woody glade on the riverbank. She loosens her belt and pulls her simple tan-coloured hide dress over her head. A rugged-looking man wearing a cowboy hat comes ambling through the sun-dappled woods on horseback. He has a strong tanned face with a deep dimple in his chin and piercing blue eyes. He leads another horse carrying his pack behind him and makes his way down towards the river. As Onati makes her way down through the trees to the river, a muscular red Indian brave on a black and white horse approaches. He stands a little way from the bank of the river and readies his bow. The guy in the cowboy hat has stopped to watch Onati. An arrow sails through the air close to his head. It hits the broad tree trunk behind him. He turns and sees the mounted red Indian brave.
My friend Grey Wolf likes to play tricks.
Next time I kill you.
Glad you put it off.
He gestures to the arrow.
Any special reason for this?
Because you are here.
I'm here to see your brother. Red Cloud and I happen to be friends.
There can be no friendship between red man and white. The fight is to the end.
Right back to your people. There is no room for you here.
You've grown a big mouth since I saw you last, Grey Wolf. But I didn't come here to talk to a big mouth. I've come here to talk to a big man.
Onati overhears from the river shallows. The man in the hat grabs his other horse by the rope and trots down to the river, followed by Grey Wolf on his black and white pony. The man in the hat urges his horses across the shallow river. He stares unashamedly at Onati, hunched over modestly in the gently flowing water. Once they have passed, Onati turns to watch the retreating figures of the men as they ride towards the Indian camp. The camp is on a flat grassy plain bordered on one side by dense forest. Indians come out of their brown-skinned teepees to watch the stranger arriving. Grey Wolf canters past the man in the hat, who is moving slowly along, looking around keenly at the men, women, and children of the tribe. Up ahead, two Indian braves stand waiting by a teepee. They wear their long dark hair in plaits. One has a feather. The man in the hat approaches them on horseback.
Hello, Red Cloud.
Johnny Hawks. I was told you were dead.
Somebody lied. I did a little fighting in the war, that's all.
White man against white. We were hoping you would kill each other off.
Didn't last that long.
Too bad.
Where are the rest of your people?
Hunting?
Hunting what?
Why are you here?
I'm on my way to the new fort.
He dismounts.
Want me to ride through without saying hello to an old friend?
Why are you here?
There's a wagon train at the new fort heading north.
I know.
You'd rather pass through your country?
Why not? I'm at peace.
Between killings?
I've killed only those who have broken my law.
What law is that?
White men must not come into our land looking for gold.
Johnny carefully appraises the two men.
Gold? there's any around.
White men must not come and trade whiskey for gold.
It takes two to make a trade.
I've punished both. Come.
Red Cloud leads him over to the trees where two corpses hang from branches.
They broke the law.
They look sorry for it. I'll help you keep your law. But we'll punish our lawbreakers in our own way.
Good. You believe a man who has killed so many of our people?
He's killed twice as many of mine.
Is the captain of the new fort to be trusted?
Come to the new fort and speak to the captain. You two might get along good.
I will be there tomorrow.
I'll tell him.
Johnny strides back over to his chestnut horse.
Johnny Hawks. Not until you have eaten with your friends.
Well, thanks, Red Cloud, but I really think I should...
John is about to climb into his saddle when he sees Onati returning to camp. He grins.
I am kind of hungry.
Johnny sits in a circle on a blanket with a group of Indian braves in full feathered headdresses. Onati strides out of a nearby teepee and gives something to Red Cloud. He hands it to Johnny.
Open it.
Johnny opens the small pouch and peers inside.
Looks like gold. Feels like it.
He chews a nugget.
Tastes like gold. Where does it live?
I hope you'll never learn.
Why?
It would make me unhappy to see your hair growing on a stick. Any one of my people who tells a white man dies.
But you're rich. Gold will buy horses, blankets. You're very rich.
Will it bring back the buffalo your people will kill? Will it clean the streams your people will fill with filth as they search for the yellow iron? Will it bring back the beauty of the land? I'm already rich in the only wealth I want. That which you see about us.
Red Cloud stands and Johnny hands back the pouch.
Think of these things while you are waiting for sleep.
Red Cloud and the other Indian men silently make their way back to their teepees. Johnny spots Onati walking purposefully through the settlement with two empty urns. He turns to watch her as she passes by, then gets up and follows her. Onati makes her way to the bank of the river and squats down to fill her brown ceramic urns. Johnny has followed her and stands a little way downstream. The moonlight glints off his short, dark blonde hair as he strips off his shirt. Onati catches sight of him and sits back with a start. Johnny grins at her and crouches down to wash his body in the water. Onati tries to ignore him, vigorously rinsing out the urns as Johnny scoops water out of the river and rubs it over his muscly torso and through his hair. Onati stands up and starts to walk back to the camp carrying the urns. Johnny jumps up and bars her way, drying himself off with his shirt.
Why are you so angry? Because I saw you in the water? The old Powder River camp, I've seen your mother wash you when you were that high.
I am not that high anymore.
No, you're not.
Johnny grabs Onati and attempts to kiss her. Onati drops the urns in the struggle and tries to fight him off. Johnny holds her face in his strong hands and kisses her firmly. She kisses him back for a moment and Johnny pulls away, grinning triumphantly. Onati pulls a knife. Smiling, Johnny overpowers her and steals the knife. She pushes him away and runs back to the camp. When Johnny emerges from the trees, he notices a dark figure standing on the outskirts of the camp, watching him. It's Grey Wolf. Johnny grins and strides past him back to the camp, wiping off his wet hair with his shirt. Standing with his bow over his shoulder, he watches Johnny walk away and disappears into the shadowy camp. Johnny makes his way back to his bedding roll, wiping off Onati's knife with his shirt. He changes into a jumper and settles down for the night. Johnny lies on his bedding roll playing with Onati's knife. He rolls over and spots her standing in the doorway of a nearby teepee, watching him. He grins knowingly at her, and she disappears quickly inside. Johnny smiles to himself and puts the knife away in his pack. At dawn, two riders approach the camp. One makes an animal call. Two Indian braves creep out of their teepees, take a look around, and swiftly make their way out of camp in the direction of the calls. The two white men on the horses wait while the Indians scurry into the shadowy forest and approach them. One Indian is bare-chested, the other wears a pale tunic.
Go away, no more gold.
One of the men hands the Indian in the tunic a stone flask, the other Indian grabs it.
No more gold for whiskey, I tell Red Cloud.
The bare-chested Indian is shot. The two mounted men take off through the trees. The Indian in the tunic, Crazy Bear, flees the scene as the camp is stirred. Indians pour out of their teepees. Grey Wolf jumps onto his black and white horse and canters off towards the forest, closely followed by a gang of other Indian braves. The trees after the men on horseback. Others crowd around the body of the fallen Indian. Johnny Hawk is among them. He looks down at the body, then takes a look around the area. Spotting the broken liquor flask, he picks it up and sniffs it. Johnny drops the broken flask back onto the ground. Grey Wolf has captured one of the white riders. He leads him on his horse back to the camp, surrounded by other mounted braves. They pass Johnny, who watches them ride by with concern. At the camp, Red Cloud looks on as the captive is taken off his horse and stood near a tall wooden stake. Johnny approaches him as piles of brushwood are thrown around the base of the stake. The captive wears a medallion around his neck.
What are you doing running around killing people?
I can kill anybody.
Who did?
What's it to you?
Johnny smacks him around the face.
Who did?
A fellow named Shivington.
Where are you from?
New Fort. We're with a wagon train.
What were you doing here?
Oh, just thought we'd do some night hunting.
Shooting owls?
Anything that showed. A couple of Indians come walking by, and Shimmy got scared and started shooting. Next thing I know, this redskin here jumps me.
Grey Wolf and his friends secure the captive to the stake as Crazy Bear quietly rejoins the crowd. A flaming torch is thrown at the brushwood. Johnny kicks it away and approaches Red Cloud.
This man's a fool, but I need him for a witness. I asked for the prisoner.
He is my brother's prisoner, not mine.
Grey Wolf chucks a spear into the ground near Johnny. Johnny picks up the spear and throws it into the ground near Grey Wolf. Onati looks on as Johnny walks back over to the captive.
What does that mean?
I gotta fight him for your hide.
What happens if you lose?
Well, my troubles will be over. Yours will just begin.
Johnny takes off his hat, throws it down and strides away. Leaving one brave to guard the captive, the rest of the tribe move out of the camp and assemble to watch the fight, the braves lining up on horseback. Two horses are selected for the fighters. Johnny is handed a tomahawk while Grey Wolf jumps onto a tall white steed. He receives another tomahawk while Johnny gets on a smaller grey dappled mount. They each canter to the opposite ends of the field and turn to face each other. The captive tries to swivel around the stump under the rope to get a better view. Red Cloud, who's standing near Onati, raises his hand. As he lowers it, two spears are thrown into the battlefield. The mounted braves break rank and crowd to watch the action. Grey Wolf and Johnny ride towards one another. They grab a spear each and canter to the opposite ends of the field. Turning, the two men ride back towards each other. Johnny holds his spear aloft. As the men pass, they throw their spears. Grey Wolf slides half off his saddle and avoids Johnny's spear. Tomahawk in hand, Johnny swiftly turns his horse and heads back towards him. Red Cloud takes a step forward as the men near each other. Grey Wolf hangs off his horse and, using the beast's body as a shield, manages to pull Johnny off his. Grey Wolf pulls himself back up, turns his steed, and charges back towards Johnny, who's now standing. Grey Wolf swings his tomahawk at Johnny, who grabs hold of Grey Wolf's arm and pulls him off the horse. On the ground, the two men lunge for the fallen tomahawk. Grey Wolf gets to it first. Johnny wrestles the tomahawk from the Indian and, holding him in an armlock, lifts the tomahawk up, ready to strike. Johnny lifts his head and stares at Red Cloud and Onati. He stands up, drops the tomahawk, and walks towards them.
Take the white man and go.
Onati turns and walks away. Johnny heads for the wooden stake, where the captive is being freed from his bonds. Johnny picks his hat up off the ground.
It sure was close. I was kind of worried about you there for a while. I never was so nervous in my life.
Johnny knocks him out with one punch.
That'll settle your nerves.
The tribe stand quietly as Johnny approaches his horse. Two Indians lay the unconscious captive over his horse. One of the younger boys steps forward and throws a stone at Johnny. It hits Johnny on the back and he swings round. The boy has adopted a fighting stance. Johnny smiles and mounts his steed. The women folk start to move away. Onati stands still amongst them, staring at Johnny. Johnny meets her gaze and she turns and joins the others. Johnny trots over to Red Cloud, leading his pack horse and the captive's horse with the man draped over the saddle. The other mounted braves gather round.
You come to the fort?
I don't know.
The captain will punish whoever's responsible for this.
I would like to see white man's justice.
And come to the fort and you'll see it.
I will be there tomorrow.
Johnny ambles slowly away from the camp, leading the other two horses. He looks over his shoulder for Onati, leaving with the other women. She turns and looks back at Johnny as he rides away. Later, the captive is sitting upright in his saddle, riding behind Johnny through the trees. White clouds lie over the mountains in the distance.
You got a fair fist. You almost took my jaw. Of course, I realized you were doing it for my good.
I always like to give a stranger a helping hand.
I appreciate that. Funny how they enjoy burning somebody alive. I don't care for it.
Better stop shooting night owl.
What do you mean?
These fell out of your pants.
Oh, I got these nuggets in a trade.
Hot lead for gold?
All right, so my partner shot an Indian.
Willing to tell that to the fort captain?
Is that what you want me to do?
You've been getting a lot of gold from the Indians?
At first, then it trickled down. This morning, nothing.
Want to try again?
Uh-uh.
Be easier finding where the Indians are getting.
So that's what you were soaping up the big chief for. You know, I had a feeling you were after the stuff.
Be ashamed to burn a smart fella like you.
You know where it is?
The gold field?
Uh-huh.
I got a hunch.
Well, listen, man, you need help. There'll be plenty for both of us.
What about your partner?
Chivington? I ain't particular what happens to him.
Kissing his medallion.
My lucky piece. We can go far with a little luck, eh, partner?
So right, partner.
The two men ride down the dusty trail to the fort. As they get in sight of the main wooden gate, a man comes running out and stares at the captive.
It's Wes Cobb. Hey, Wes, you're supposed to be dead.
Yeah?
A kid comes running.
He ain't even wounded.
Disappointed?
Chivington's got everybody jumping with his account of the massacre.
Who got massacred?
Him.
I would have if not for Johnny Hawks here.
Johnny Hawks? Hey, didn't we hear about you back in Laramie?
I've been there.
Well,
I've been...
To see you here. How soon will the troops be here?
Where's Chivington?
He was in the saloon a little while ago.
As Johnny gets to the gates of the fort, a covered wagon pulls up. A man in a cream Stetson hails the driver.
What are you running for? With the Sioux on the warpath, I'm staying inside tonight.
We're wasting our time. Chivington knows where the minnows are. Then why don't the captain take his troops and wipe them out? Every man, woman, and child.
You ever do much Indian fighting, sir?
I've fought enough Yankees to know how to deal with any kind of skunk.
We just lost one war. You can't wait to lose another.
Step down off that horse.
Johnny ignores him and rides into the fort.
Say, I'm with Johnny Hawk, the Indian fighter.
Well, I wouldn't want to harm nobody as good at killing Indians.
Johnny gets off his horse.
Hold it, Wes.
Johnny enters the bar first.
The captain can't make the rest of us sit here waiting to be massacred. It ain't human.
You gotta remember, Indians ain't people. They're wild animals. When they get a taste of blood, you gotta kill them.
You're right, Shiv.
Let me tell you, when I seen my poor friend West lying dead in a pool of blood, being scalped right in front of my own eyes, I knew what my duty was. To fight my way out of there. Come here to the fort and warn the people. Give me another drink, Jim.
It's a very interesting story, mister. I'd like you to come with me and tell it to Captain Trask.
I already told him.
Let's tell it to him again.
I ain't taking orders from no strangers.
Johnny grins and gestures at the door.
Well, maybe an old friend could persuade you.
Former captive Wes steps in through the doorway.
Wes Todd.
I thought you was dead.
Well, I just ain't, Shiv.
Wes punches out Shiv, who rolls onto the floor.
I guess he's persuaded. Let's see the captain, huh?
Grinning, Johnny heads out of the wooden shack. Shiv gets up and confronts Wes.
What'd you hit me for?
Shut up. Play along.
Oh, I don't get this.
In his quarters, Captain Trask consults two of his officers as he gets a shave.
Captain, when the reinforcements from Laramie arrive, we must fight it out. Teach Red Cloud a lesson.
Sir, I agree.
Jim, I'm trying to prevent a war, not start one.
Man from Laramie is here, sir. Johnny Hawks.
That's enough. Send him in. About time.
Howdy, Captain.
Mr. Hawks, how many men Laramie sent?
Just me.
One man can't handle an uprising. I don't care who he is.
What uprising?
A band of Sioux ran amok last night. Scalped one of our men.
They did?
Yeah, we have an eyewitness. Chivington.
Oh, he's right outside. Come in.
Shiv and Wes come in.
Take off your hat.
Wes obliges.
Who's he?
He's a man who was scalped.
Trask puts down his towel and steps closer to Shiv.
What's the meaning of this?
Well, sir, you see, I...
Is this the man you said was scalped?
Yes, sir, but I didn't have anything
to
do...
Is construction work on that guardhouse finished yet?
Just about, sir.
Lock him up.
Yes, sir.
Shiv is taken out.
Well, I'm glad you weren't scalped.
Lock him up.
Well, I would have been burned alive if it weren't for Johnny here. You were there?
Well, I thought I'd take a look at the Indian side of things before reporting here.
Well, now you know the trouble we're in.
Well, the trouble isn't that with the Indians, Captain. It was settlers like Shivington trading whiskey for gold.
Trask sits down.
I wish I could get rid of that wagon.
That's why I'm here. I was sent to guide them through the Sioux country.
Yeah, but there are women and children in that wagon train. I can't send them out of here with the Indians on the warpath.
They're not on the warpath. Red Cloud wants to talk with you and settle things peaceably.
You think we can trust him?
He's worried if he can trust you.
Why?
Well, any of his people break the law, Red Cloud puts them to death.
You want me to hang Shivington?
Oh, Captain, we're not Indians. We're civilized. You gotta do something.
Well, I just put Shivington in the guardhouse.
Sure, but don't neglect his partner.
Partner?
Johnny points at Wes.
He was with him.
Lock him up.
Wes is escorted out.
Now, where do you suppose I can get together with Red Cloud?
Lock this one up, too.
How about right here?
Captain, it would be a mistake to bring the enemy right into the fort.
I agree with Blake.
Well, I disagree with both of you. I'll take responsibility for this meeting.
But, Captain, if the...
It's all settled. How long do you think it'd take you to get Red Cloud right here?
He's on his way now. Excuse me.
Johnny goes out. Shiv and Wes are taken over to a log hut.
Wonderful, got it finished just in time.
Shiv and Wes go in, and the soldier locks the door behind them. Johnny leads his horse over to a makeshift blacksmith's and ties him up. A kid jumps onto the nearby fence.
Kill.
Well, just enough to stay alive.
Russ Jenkins says that you kill more Indians than Davy Crockett. Ma don't like Indian fighting much. Ma says it's silly.
What's your pa say?
Ain't got a pa, but I got a grandpa.
Yeah, what's he say?
He's in Oregon. Have you got a real Indian arrow?
Well, not on me, but I'll get you one.
Off a dead Indian?
Well, off a live one, if you don't mind.
Eh.
Or better yet, you can get one yourself tomorrow when Red Cloud gets here.
He's coming here?
That's right.
Tomorrow?
That's what I said.
Well, smoking sassafras, if that ain't...
Susan, an attractive woman, hurries over.
Tommy, where have you been?
The Indians are coming.
Oh, you stop that nonsense. Now you get right down from there and get ready
they
for supper.
They are, too. Johnny Hawks has told me so. Russ Jenkins! Russ Jenkins!
Tommy chases another kid. Johnny sees to his horse's shoe.
So you're the Indian fighter fella. What's a big man like you doing scaring little boys about Indians coming?
No, ma'am. They're coming to sign a peace treaty.
Last peace treaty didn't do me much good. My husband died at Vicksburg.
Oh, sorry to hear it.
Ain't your fault. Or is it? What side of the war were you on, Johnny Hawks?
I'm kind of afraid to mention.
You're gonna have to be scared of me. Care to have supper with us?
Well, thank you. We won't put you out.
Feeding a man never put me out, providing he's got an appetite.
Well, thank you. I got the appetite.
He's holding a hoof.
Wash your hands.
Susan walks away. Johnny smiles and shakes his head. In the fort, the mounted troops in their dark blue uniforms trot across the ground in tight formation. Johnny Hawk rides out of the fort with Captain Trask and his two officers. Tommy is up on the wall. The Indian Braves are advancing towards the fort across the dusty plain. Red Cloud rides at the front, resplendent in a red and white suit and large feathered headdress. They amass in a line facing Johnny, Captain Trask, and fellow officers who are standing in front of the large wooden fort gates. Johnny rides over to Red Cloud as the cavalry troops file out of the fort and line up behind the captain. A standard bearer carries a red and white flag. Indian Braves continue to file in behind Red Cloud on his horse. Johnny stands by his side, looking towards the fort. Chief Red Cloud raises his arm to Captain Trask, who salutes him. Johnny watches four Indian Braves trot past him towards the fort gate. He glances at Red Cloud and smiles. The four Braves canter into the deserted fort and up to the guardhouse. The man guarding the log hut presents arms and the Indians canter away satisfied. Wes and Shiv look on through the barred window.
I can't figure you. I can't figure Johnny Hawks. I can't figure nothing.
Don't you see what he's doing?
I figure I owe you a bust in the nose.
And he's a smart operator.
Well, I owe him a bust in the nose, too.
He puts over this peace powwow so he can have the field to himself. Anybody else goes after gold gets shot or hung. That's the way he fixes it in the peace treaty. He's gonna scare off everybody but Johnny Hawks.
Well, I'm plugging him the minute I get out of here.
You're plugging nobody till I tell you. He's our partner.
Shiv flops onto the floor and kicks a sleeping drunk.
Shut up!
Outside the fort, Red Cloud and Captain Trask are posing for photographs. They sit close together with Johnny and two officers standing by. The photographer, Briggs, gives Red Cloud the signed treaty to hold up and runs over to his box camera on legs a little way away.
Hold it!
Later, the folks in the fort have a little celebration. A band plays and people swing their dance partners in the gathering dusk. Tommy and his friends are in their nightclothes, sitting on some steps nearby. A man in a cowboy hat, Will, is chatting to Susan as she watches the dancing.
You know how many apple trees they figure to an acre in Oregon?
500.
Right. Of course, that ain't counting the tater crop. Well, them Oregon potatoes are twice as big as the ones in Michigan.
Captain Trask walks over to the bar. Johnny comes rolling out arm in arm with two soldiers.
When the corporal runs, he's a coward kind. Though the captain, he may drink a lot, it's a corporal who's a drunken sots.
Howdy, Captain.
Briggs interrupts Susan and Will.
Susan, if we used to put our heads together in Oregon in more ways than one, we could grow apple trees and...
Terrific. It's terrific. Susan, there's been nothing like them since the Battle of Shiloh. Johnny!
Hey, I ain't finished talking yet.
Susan and Briggs rush over to Johnny.
Look at that contrast. Real black and white. Notice the grouping.
Next day, a sentry walks along a rooftop guarding the fort wall. Johnny sits in his saddle outside the gates and watches a line of covered wagons pull out of the fort. Captain Trask gallops out and approaches Johnny.
Too bad you're getting such a late start. That was quite a brawl last night.
It's all right. We'll make Spring Rock by sundown.
Johnny spots Wes and Shiv trotting out with the wagon train.
Todd and Shivington? What are they doing here?
Nothing else I can do with them.
Send them to Laramie for trial.
What good would it do? That fellow Wes Todd changed his story, now claims self-defense.
Maybe we ought to shoot him now and try him later.
Not while I'm watching, please.
You could turn your back.
They'll behave. I've informed them that if they're seen in this vicinity again, I'll turn them over to Red Cloud in person.
You're real generous for something you don't want. Be seeing you, Captain.
The two men salute each other. Further on down the trail, the long wagon train weaves across hilly scrubland. Wes hails Johnny.
Thanks for getting us out of the jailhouse, partner.
Don't thank me. You carry your luck around your neck.
Could be your right. Maybe somebody will rub off on you.
Might. We're gonna be real close on this trip.
Me and Wes will be right behind you, Mr. Hawk.
That's a pleasant talk.
Johnny rides along by the dusty wagon train. Briggs is by the side of the trail with his box camera.
Johnny!
Johnny rides over to him.
Look at that scenery.
Johnny gazes down at the silvery river in the valley below.
What's the matter with it?
Needs photographing.
I like it the way it is.
You know, when I was working for Mr. Brady, photographing the Civil War, I said to him, Mr. Brady, I always called him Mr. I said, Mr. Brady, I'm not a genius like you, but one of these days you're going to be proud of me because I'm going to photograph the whole Wild West.
Why?
I want everyone to see it.
Why?
When they see it, they'll come out here, thousands of them. Isn't that reason enough?
That's reason enough to bust that camera over your head.
Why? Don't you want to open up the West to civilization?
Come here.
Briggs moves closer.
Maybe you won't understand this. To me, the West is like a beautiful woman. My woman. I like her the way she is. I don't want her changed. I'm jealous. I don't want to share her with anybody. I'd hate to see her civilized.
Would you rather I didn't take any photos?
Well, if you don't, others will.
It's so beautiful.
Come on, there's plenty more up ahead. Now, here. I'll give you a hand. Come on. Give me your arm.
Briggs leaps onto Johnny's horse.
Angel with us? Come on, let's go.
Come on, Angel.
Briggs leads a donkey carrying his photographic equipment as they rejoin the wagon train. Night, a traveller plays his guitar by the fireside.
Two brothers on their way, two brothers on their way. Two brothers on their way, one more blue and one more gray.
The wagon train has pulled over for the night. A man with a banjo joins others round the fire. Other fires flicker further along the shadowy trail.
One was gentle, one was kind, one was gentle, one was kind. One came home, one stayed behind. The cannonball don't pay no mind.
Wes and Shiv are sitting on the ground holding tin plates. Wes is still eating. Shiv picks his teeth and wipes his fingers on his shirt, then scrapes bits of food off his plate with a fork.
There on a beautiful morning, two girls waiting by the railroad.
Three small children sit along the side of one wagon with their father and mother looking on. Folks move between the wagons in the shadows. Johnny is sitting on a wooden barrel near Susan's covered wagon with Tommy. He's attempting to peel an apple in one go with Onati's knife. Tommy watches him intently. Susan sits nearby.
That's an Indian knife, ain't it, Johnny?
Used to be.
Did you have to fight for it?
Yep. Made quite a tussle.
Tell us, will you, Johnny, tell us?
No stories now. You get to bed. Come on.
I don't want to go to bed.
Good night, Tommy.
Johnny throws him into the wagon.
In you go. See you tomorrow.
Johnny chuckles and sits back down.
Think we'll see any of the Sioux before we get through this country?
Hope so. They're good for trading.
Stealing and killing.
No more than most people I know.
Like Indians, don't you?
Yeah, I like Indians. I like whites, too.
Johnny.
Huh?
Why don't you come clear through to Oregon with us?
What'll I do in Oregon?
It's rich country. Every man's entitled to 640 acres, free and clear.
Can't see myself behind a plow.
Why not?
I'm no good at planting seeds and...
Why not?
Because he's an Indian fighter, that's why!
You get back to bed and you stay there. Boy's getting to be a problem.
Johnny stares at her.
You're a fine woman, Susan. Only wish I had half your character.
You got enough for both of us.
It'll take more than you think. I'm shiftless.
Little training would take care of that?
Training? It's in my bones. When I'm supposed to be tending crops, I'd be off fishing or shooting at something. I'm just no good for farming.
Well, who's talking about farming? I'd want my husband out there shooting and trapping, bringing home fish and game. Farming wouldn't hardly interfere at all.
Johnny's mouth gapes like a fish.
Some men are a natural-born husband, but well, I just ain't good for that.
Well, you ain't never tried it.
Well, Susan, it hurts me to own up to this, but I ain't fit for marriage.
Sure hate to hear a man run himself down.
Well, I've given it a lot of thought. Hiya, Will.
Johnny leaps up.
Thanks for the apple, Susan. Well, I've got some horse inspecting to do, and I'll see you in the morning.
Johnny leaves quickly.
Well, as the old saying goes, two's company and three's a crowd.
You should have thought of that before you came crashing in here, Will Crabtree.
Susan, any place you are is where I belong. There's something I'd like to tell you, but you ain't ever given me a chance. Susan, I'm the best apple grower ever come out of Michigan.
Susan smiles warmly at him. Next day, the wagons rattle towards a shallow river. Will spots a big rattlesnake and jumps off his horse.
Hey, that's a big fella. He's on six rattles. He must be 5 feet long.
Wes and Shiv canter up.
What do you got there, fellas?
Blackbird.
A man traps the snake's body using a forked stick. Wes spots Johnny getting off his horse.
Show you how to kill a rattlesnake.
Wes gets off the horse and grabs the stick.
Hey, Johnny!
Wes throws the snake at him. Johnny turns and shoots it.
Blew his head right off.
Johnny holsters his gun. Wes tips his hat back.
I told you, it's the best way to kill a rattler.
Look at that snake right at him. What if he'd missed?
No chance.
Johnny looks at Wes.
I never miss a snake.
Johnny cuts the snake's tail off and throws it to Tommy.
Hey, Tommy, catch.
Thanks, Johnny. Look, Mom, Johnny killed a rattler.
All right, everybody, let's move on.
Riding his chestnut horse with a white flash on its brow, Johnny leads the wagon train across the shallow river. Huge, craggy, sand-coloured mountains loom in the distance. On the bank, Johnny turns back to watch the drivers urge their horses on as the covered wagons shake and rattle across the stony riverbed. Susan sits upright at the reins of her wagon as she negotiates the river, Tommy by her side. Johnny is sitting up in his saddle looking out over the water. One of the wagon drivers makes it to the bank and addresses him.
Yeah, that was a close shave, but I was ready for you. I got some good medicine for snake bites.
Hey, you mean I'd have to go find another snake?
Wes and Shiv watch Johnny join the guy on his wagon.
I wonder what they're palavering about.
You'll get a chance to fix it up with Trader Joe.
He'll give us the blast and powder, shovels, everything for an equal cut.
Too many fellas coming in for equal cut.
I don't trust him.
Who, Trader Joe?
Johnny Hawks, you meathead.
Oh.
Having made it across, Wes and Shiv ride along the bank on the other side of the river. The wagons continue through the shallow water, soon ploughing up the bank after them. A lone Indian scout rides down a steep rocky hillside scattered with tall slender trees. He watches the wagon train as it meanders along down below. Nearby, several more Indian scouts observe from a cliff edge above the river. Motionless for a while, they suddenly turn and ride away, their bows and arrows held out at their sides. Johnny, at the head of the wagon train, leads them along a narrow mountain track. Changing direction abruptly, he veers off the path and heads up the muddy mountainside.
Why go this way? It's a hard pull up them hills.
Think how easy it'll be sliding down the other side.
What you say? That's right up in the middle of the Sioux country.
We're friendly with the Sioux.
But are they friendly with us?
If they weren't, we wouldn't have got this far.
I ain't seen no Indian.
Depends on how you look. I've counted 39 so far. See that mountaintop over there?
I see it.
Sam looks up.
That's six more. That makes 45.
Oh, get him up there! Come on!
The horses pulling the wagons are G'd on, and they power up the mountainside along with those on horseback. Susan, with Tommy riding beside her at the front of the wagon, bounces along as she gently urges her horses on. Briggs on foot, his donkey laden with camera equipment, steps towards Johnny, who waits to see everyone safely up the hill.
Thanks, Johnny.
What for?
For taking us close to the Indians. I'll get some great pictures.
Glad you're happy. That makes two of us.
Briggs turns to his donkey.
Come on, Angel.
Later, they've set up camp. Shiv, carrying firewood, looks disgruntled.
How come we're bedding down so early?
Horses must be tired. Uphill all the way.
Let the horses give the orders.
Johnny's got a gold bug in his head.
Well, let's see where it takes it.
Shiv hands Trader Joe a ladle and, lumbering past Wes, wanders after Johnny. Johnny sees Shiv hide himself behind a wagon. On the other side of the wagon, Johnny stops for a moment, grinning to himself. He then saunters off again, Shiv on his trail. Johnny chuckles to himself as he bends and sees Shiv's legs under another wagon. Johnny strolls on, concealed behind yet another wagon, in the circle which surrounds the camp. He pauses, looking over his shoulder with a smirk. He sees Shiv's feet and ankles again on the other side of the wagon. He puts his hands in his pockets and waits until Johnny ambles off. He trundles after him, still concealing himself on the inside of the wagon circle. Johnny pauses by some horses and peers under another wagon. Seeing Shiv still following him, he smiles and nimbly climbs onto a horse. He then walks across its back and over another horse before jumping down to the ground. Johnny crouches for a moment, then darts away. He appears behind Shiv, who is staring under the wagon. Johnny grins to himself, then races off, unseen by Shiv. Now on horseback, Johnny pauses and laughs at Shiv before riding away into a forest. Shiv, looking befuddled, creeps round to the back of the wagon. Finding nothing, he pulls open the canvas cover and peeps inside.
Oh! Keep your nose out of this wagon, you peeping Tom! The nerve of some people!
Shiv stomps away, hands in his pockets once again. Cantering through the forest, Johnny pauses and glances warily around him. He sees some figures up ahead. Smiling to himself, he dismounts and tethers his horse to a fallen tree. On foot, he clambers across fallen branches towards a line of squaws who are carrying water along a woodland pathway. Onati is with them.
Brought your knife back.
He holds up the knife he took from her.
Remember?
She glances coldly at him and starts to walk on. He darts nearer to her and she freezes.
Here.
She backs away.
Thought you wanted it back?
Throw it.
He thinks for a moment, then tosses it forcefully at a tree. As she goes to pull it from the trunk, he grabs her wrist and spins her round to face him. He goes to kiss her and she hits him over the head with her urn, spilling water everywhere. As he clutches his head, she falls back onto the ground. She leaps up and sprints away. Amused, Johnny takes the knife from the tree and goes after her. He pursues her to the river and, grabbing her by the hair, pulls her down into the clear, shallow water. They roll over and over and then kiss passionately. They sit up and she smiles at him before leaning forward to kiss him hungrily on the mouth. She pulls him down and they embrace as the water ripples around them. Johnny breaks away and kneels up in front of her, a broad smile on his face. She grins back at him and they stare with delight into each other's eyes until Johnny pulls her to her feet and leads her away. Back at the wagon train camp, a small fire burns in the early evening darkness. Briggs sits nearby, feeding Angel. Families sit around, talking and eating. Shiv wanders aimlessly through the camp. He finds Wes sleeping under Trader Joe's wagon. Wes stirs as Shiv approaches.
You back yet?
Lummox, you were right next to him. How could you let him get away?
How'd I know it'd be so crooked?
Well, he ain't digging any gold at night.
Might as well be working with a blind man.
We'll follow him tomorrow, won't we, Shiv?
Just like we was tattooed on him.
Will's with Susan and Tommy.
Susan, I've been wanting to tell you about something on my mind. New kind of fertilizer. I'm them buffaloes. That'll be just as good as a horse and cow fertilizer, wouldn't you say?
Mom, what's fertilizer?
Something Mr. Crabtree has in his mind. Now you hurry up and finish. Way past your bedtime.
Indians!
Tommy gawps at a group of Indians strolling towards the camp. Sam goes for his gun.
Just a minute, Morgan. They seem friendly.
Indians are all alike. They're ready to slit your throat.
They want
to
try it.
Don't let them get away.
Sam looks nervous.
Don't let them inside this wagon circle.
Maybe you're right, Sam. Why don't you build a trading fire outside the circle?
Sam goes off. Tommy.
Tommy, you gotta buy me something from the Indians. You gotta.
Tommy, you stay right here. Got mean faces.
It's all right, Susan. Just act like they was next door neighbors.
They're here for business. I've got my merchandise.
I wouldn't waste no time on them. They're all cheats, them Indians.
You fellas want to trade?
The Indians, carrying various dead animals, step forward. Briggs hurriedly grabs his camera and scuttles towards them.
Look at the balloons.
More Indians are coming.
I don't want to trade.
Other Indians cross the river in canoes. Crazy Bear, clutching dead ducks, lollops ahead of the others.
You got meat, you got flour, you got blood.
Nice fresh meat they got.
Mister, I'll give you something for these ducks.
What do you want?
Beans.
You see them?
Yeah.
Who?
Our old pal Crazy Bear.
Who's he?
It's our fellow with the gold.
I'll trade with him.
No, you keep the others busy.
Get ready. You with the ducks, hold it.
Historical picture entitled The Trading Scene.
Higher. It's gonna be famous. Hold it!
Crazy Bear jumps as Briggs takes a picture. Wes and Shiv with a jug of whiskey wander over. They watch Crazy Bear.
Beans?
They're being crazy.
You got beans?
Yeah, we got beans. That deer for these beans?
Big deer, little bean, no.
An Indian peers into the lens of Briggs' camera, then strolls up to Susan and Will. He smiles at Tommy.
What pretty necklace he's wearing.
You want a necklace? I want a bow and arrow.
Just a minute, mister.
Crazy Bear gets stopped.
Why don't you smack your lips good and loud?
Give you a half a sack of the finest beans for the whole lot of them.
Is he coming?
Crazy Bear moves towards them.
Still, I'm not going to hurt you.
No threat.
Wes grins.
He's coming.
Shiv, still clutching the jug of whiskey, plods off after Wes. Will finds Susan. He smiles at her and holds up an Indian necklace. Tommy charges up to them.
Look what I got! Indian feathers! Real Indian feathers! And I trade it with my shirt!
Crazy Bear trots through the trees away from the camp towards Wes and Shiv.
Who's here, Shiv? It's our old buddy, Crazy Bear.
You give me drink for this?
Nah, we ain't trading, Crazy Bear. We're just having a little party. You care to join us?
Wes holds out a mug of whiskey to Crazy Bear, which he takes eagerly. Sleeping under a tree beside Onati, Johnny stirs. He reaches up and takes his hat and gun belt off a branch. As he stands and tries to walk away, he is felled by a piece of rope tied round his ankle. The other end is attached to Anati's ankle.
Very funny.
He sits up and starts to undo the rope.
Too bad it didn't break my neck. That'd have been real funny.
Where were you going?
Get a drink. Fella gets thirsty sleep.
She stares deadly at him with her deep brown eyes. He looks uneasy and holds up the rope.
You think I'd go away without saying goodbye?
Yes.
I told you I was leading a wagon train.
I know you told me. Goodbye.
He tosses the rope aside and gets to his feet. Onati continues to eye him coolly as he trudges over to his horse, doing up his gun belt as he goes. He turns to face her, then looks away again, uncomfortable under her gaze.
Can't you give me a little smile before I leave?
He turns to face her again. She just keeps staring at him, angry tears welling in her large eyes. Looking guilty, he heads back over to her and removes his hat. He kneels in front of her.
You were happy a while ago.
Because I forgot.
Forgot what?
You're white. I'm Indian.
What's that got to do with it?
You go away and forget. I must stay and remember.
I gotta go away. As soon as I get the wagon through, I'll be back.
I don't believe you.
He shuffles closer to her.
Look, I took 20 wagons, 70 head of stock, 94 people up a mountainside, 2 days out of their way just to see you.
A hint of a smile plays on her lips.
Now will you give me a goodbye smile?
Gradually she smiles.
Goodbye.
They smile fondly at each other, then he leans forward and kisses her tenderly on the lips. Grey Wolf and two other Indian braves paddle a canoe across the river towards the wagon train camp. Grey Wolf gets purposefully out of the canoe and strides ashore. Small campfires burning outside the wagon circle. Smoke billows up into the night sky as Grey Wolf moodily scans the area. A drunken-looking crazy bear still sits drinking with Wes and Shiv.
Not asking you to take us there, crazy bear. All we're asking you to do is to tell us where it is so that we can dig it out of the ground. Now, that's not too much for one friend to tell another, is it? I mean, good friends like us?
Oh, Red Cloud kill more?
Listen, you dumbhead, I guess.
Wes and Shiv look up edgily as Joe wanders over to them with two more jugs of whiskey. They stand and meet him.
How's the transaction going?
I think we're getting somewhere, sir.
We ain't getting no place.
More.
Crazy Bear staggers over to them.
More.
No, Crazy Bear. First you tell us where we can find the yellow iron, then you can have all of it.
Yeah.
Both jugs.
Both jugs. Come on, Crazy Bear.
And Red Cloud will never know you said a word.
Come on. Draw it right here on the ground.
They kneel in the dirt.
Give me jug.
No. Draw it first. Come on.
Go ahead, Crazy Bear.
Quiet.
You go up dry river to mountain.
Yeah.
More.
Go ahead. Now, you ain't finished. How high do we climb?
Give me jug.
Go ahead. You get it.
You go halfway, then turn.
Yeah, which way do we turn from a dry river?
Crazy Bear uses a stone to draw in the dirt.
Go to big rock.
Yes.
With falling water.
Big rock.
There. Now give me jug.
Crazy Bear reaches forward. Suddenly all four of them stand as they see Grey Wolf approach. Crazy Bear cowers behind a flimsy tree.
Don't try to find gold. You will find only death. Just like Crazy Bear broke the oath.
Grey Wolf pulls out his dagger and moves threateningly towards Crazy Bear. Wes and Shiv grab him and drag him to a tree.
I ain't got time to roast you now, fire boy.
Grey Wolf cries out as Wes stabs him in the stomach. Crazy Bear hits Joe with a rock. Shiv shoots him. The other Indians, still trading, race towards the sound of the cries. Wes and Shiv escape through the trees.
We're ambushed. Head for the fort.
Them Indians killed Trader Joe.
The dirty skunks. We'll kill them all.
Sam fires his gun.
Who do you want ahead for the cavalry?
All right.
Everyone races panic-stricken to their wagons. Susan, with Will, looks fearfully over her shoulder as she runs.
Head for the fort! Hitch up the wagon!
Unaware of the mayhem, Johnny rides slowly back towards the wagon train camp. His horse weaves its way through the bushes. The horses now hitched to the wagons, the camp is soon dispersed. The horses thunder away, sending up clouds of dust in their wake. Riding down a slope, Johnny briefly stops his horse and looks down at something, his brow furrowed. He moves on, then climbs out of the saddle. He looks around warily at the bodies of Crazy Bear Joe and Grey Wolf. He crouches down by Grey Wolf and spots something on the ground. He picks up Wes's gold medallion and tucks it into his pocket before leaping back onto his horse. The wagon train is speeding through the forest. Johnny careers into the deserted camp and looks around. At their camp, the Indians, wearing war paint and ornately feathered headdresses, stride round in a long line of pairs. They move respectfully past Red Cloud and Onati, who stand solemnly side by side. Squaws in colourfully patterned tunics follow behind the braves in groups of three and four. A group of braves stand in a circle around a large drum. As the beats quicken, those moving around in the circle begin to change pace. They lift their feet off the ground, thumping them down alternately as they dance round. The rhythm of the drum quickens again and the war dance gathers pace. Red Cloud watches somberly, his head held high, the feathers on his headdress wafting in the breeze. A new day and the wagons are still travelling towards the fort at a desperate speed. They charge back through the river, water frothing up around the weary horses as they power on. Johnny, travelling alone, rides through the forest on a mountainside. The dry earth clouds under his horse's hooves. He pauses and turns his steed towards a riverbank. A wagon lies on its side, belongings scattered in the dirt. Concerned, Johnny races on. As the wagon train struggles through surging water further along the river, two Indian braves on horseback arrive at the fallen wagon Johnny just passed. One of them quickly dismounts. The other Indian, riding a black and white horse, rides on, leaving his partner to scavenge. Johnny pauses as he nears the lush green bottom of the mountain. In the distance, he sees the wagon train and the distinctive cloud of dust which travels with it. He rides towards it. Hearing a sound, Johnny slows his horse in an area of dense forest. He pulls his gun, looking around him edgily. An Indian brave on a chestnut horse rides nearby. The Indian fires an arrow, hitting Johnny's horse in the neck. The horse falls to the ground, leaving Johnny sprawled on top of it. The Indian charges over and dismounts, then grabbing Johnny by his hair, prepares to scalp him. Johnny manages to hold him off, throwing him over onto his back. Johnny viciously stabs the Indian, then turns to tenderly stroke his dying horse. Johnny turns, hearing another rider approach. It's the Indian brave on the black and white horse, thundering towards him. Johnny races towards the dead Indian's horse, but it trots away. Johnny looks desperately at the Indian on the black and white horse, who is closing in on him, and darts behind a large rock. As the Indian approaches, Johnny leaps out, flipping him off his horse. As the Indian tries to get to his feet, Johnny flings a small boulder at him, then leaps deftly onto the bare back of the black and white horse. Johnny rides back to where his own horse lies, then dismounts and retrieves his gun. Hesitant, he steps towards the horse. His injured horse, its head rears up momentarily, then lolls back onto the ground. Johnny climbs quickly back onto the black and white horse and rides away. A wagonless team of four horses charges through the open gates of the fort. Cavalry soldiers run to try and contain the horses. A lieutenant on horseback takes hold of a bridle, calming the overexcited animals. An officer hurries to the front of the fort and peers out over the spiked wooden walls at the approaching wagon train. The dust-coated and bedraggled wagons speed through the gates of the fort one by one. They circle round the fort's open yard as they try to slow the agitated horses. Soon the whole area is obliterated by a shroud of billowing dust. Briggs stands by the gates, shifting excitedly. Captain Trask and Lieutenant Blake sprint over. The lieutenant on horseback rides over to Trask and Blake, and they watch as the wagons pile in. Blake turns to Trask.
A short piece.
Lieutenant Schaefer, take two men and get to Fort Laramie. Make it fast.
Yes, sir.
Tell them to send all the reinforcements they can.
The lieutenant on horseback turns his horse and rides away. The wagons are still thundering through the gates of the fort. A man from the wagon train runs over to Trask.
We got some wounded.
I'll get you some stretchers.
Jackson! Stretcher!
Lieutenant Schaefer leaves with two scouts.
Who attacked you?
There was a trading party, maybe 15 of them. Didn't Shivington and West Todd get here with the news?
Nobody got here.
They rode on ahead for help.
The Indians must have got them.
Where's Johnny Hawks?
That's what we'd like to know.
That is Apache!
Who is it?
Looks like Johnny Hawks.
That is Johnny Hawks, and on an Indian pony.
Where was he during the attack?
With the Indians, working with them, that's where he was.
Are you sure of that?
He set us up for a massacre, let us a whole day off the trail, right into their hands.
You murdering traitor, you killed Fort Joe, and now
he's
you're gonna pay for it. Get her off!
Get her off!
Just bring him up!
As Johnny rides in, the angry mob from the wagon train pull him off his horse. He fights back, but there are too many of them, and they bundle him to the ground. Shots are fired into the sky by Trask's men. The mob backs off. Lying in the dirt, Johnny sits up.
The next volley will be more accurate. You sticking up for him after what he's done?
Close those gates!
I need every one of you on the parapets. I've sent to Laramie for reinforcements, and we'll keep fighting until they come.
We'll finish Johnny Hawks first.
Shut up! I'm in command of this fort. Assign the men to their posts.
Give your names to the corporal.
Detail dismissed.
Follow me, men. Line up.
The wagon train men follow the corporal. Johnny stares after them.
Hawks.
Johnny turns to face Trask and Blake, then wanders over to them.
What happened?
Where's West and Shivington?
The settlers said they came on ahead for help.
Where are they?
They didn't make it.
Now suppose you tell me what happened, Mr. Hawks.
But Todd and Shivington killed Grey Wolf. I think that's what started it.
You think? Weren't you there?
No, but I've got
evidence. Where were you when the fight started?
In Red Cloud's camp.
You quit your post while in Indian territory? Why?
To see a girl.
An Indian girl? I'm beginning to wonder what side you're on.
Captain! Lieutenant Schaefer and the scouts!
The gates of the fort are reopened, and Schaefer and the scouts ride in. All three men are held in their saddles by a wooden cross attached to their backs, so they sit upright as though still alive. Schaefer is pulled from his horse. His hat falls off, revealing his bloody scalp. Johnny wanders up behind Trask, who stands watching the horrific sight. Trask wanders off. Susan, who stands amongst the crowd that has gathered, turns away in disgust. Blake, holding the reins of Schaefer's horse, looks coldly at Johnny, who glances down at Wes's medallion. Up on a hillside above the fort, Red Cloud, wearing his war paint and headdress, sits regally on his horse. He glances across at a line of Indian braves who sit waiting, also on horseback. Red Cloud then shifts his horse slightly and nods to another group of Indians. On foot, an Indian brave releases a riderless horse. The horse drags behind it a large leafy bush, which creates a trail of dust behind it. Numerous riderless horses, bushes attached, are freed and they canter away, forming a wall of impenetrable dust. The horses gallop towards the fort. Blake, standing near Trask, peers over the wall of the fort.
I don't
don't see the Indians, sir.
The riderless horses thunder round the fort.
Issue extra ammunition to the settlers.
Yes, sir.
Johnny comes to stand behind Trask as Blake goes.
You won't need ammunition today, but you'll need plenty of water.
Trask looks at Johnny stony-faced. They both turn to look back across the fort. A ring of dust wafts up around it. On the hillside, Red Cloud looks down at the fort and nods again. Indian braves on horseback appear out of the trees and undergrowth and ride towards the fort. The cavalry fire at the Indians as they career towards them. Some Indians are killed, but many reach the edge of the fort and fling flaming torches over the sides. Red Cloud sits watching from his horse as Indian braves return to light more torches on a blazing fire. On horseback, they keep moving as they pass the ends of their long torches through the roaring orange flames. They return to the fort, some with torches, some with flaming arrows in their bows. The riderless horses are still thundering around the fort, creating a dense wall of dust.
I can't stand through the dust.
The settlers armed with guns peer over the top of the fort wall, unable to make out the attacking Indians. A flaming arrow hits a wagon. Little Tommy runs over to pull it out. As he grabs it, another lands, just missing him.
Will!
Johnny sees him.
Get Tommy under a wagon and tell him to stay there.
Will races off to get Tommy. More flaming torches are flung over the walls. Hidden by the enormous dust cloud, the Indians are able to get dangerously close. Inside the fort, more wagons are set alight. The cavalry and settlers who aren't shooting pass buckets of water along a line to keep the fires under control. The Indian braves are relentless in their attack, flinging one ball of flame after another over the fort walls. The cavalry tried desperately to put out the burning wagons as black smoke surges into the sky. A corporal shooting through the sharpened wooden spikes that make up the fort wall is struck by an arrow in the chest. He collapses onto the ground and is dragged away. Johnny scrambles after a group of cavalrymen and picks up the dead man's gun. Briggs, trying to film the battle, drops his camera over the fort wall. Johnny appears and pulls him to the ground.
Get down. Johnny, my camera! Stay down!
Johnny tugs forcefully on Briggs as he tries to stand. Briggs stares after Johnny as he scuttles away, hunched down. Johnny pulls a burning arrow out of a wooden cabin, then moves to shoot at the Indians alongside some of the settlers. They eye him suspiciously.
What the captain's doing to Mr. Hawks, ain't it? Making him shoot at his Indian friend.
The Indians ain't gonna like him no more.
Johnny ignores them and carries on firing.
What's that?
A burning wagon is driven straight towards the fort.
One of our wagons!
Pulls the wagon flanked by several others. They charge fearlessly towards the fort. Johnny aims his gun and fires, felling one of the riders. Filled with flaming foliage, the now horseless wagon crashes into the side of the fort. As buckets of water are passed frantically along a human chain towards where the wagon hit, Johnny sprints across the fort and joins Trask and Blake on a platform at the top of the fort wall.
Get some volunteers and pull that wagon out.
Yes, sir!
As Blake hurries away, Johnny moves beside Trask.
How many wagons the settlers lose?
Two!
Another flaming wagon is thundering towards them. Johnny points at it.
Here comes the other one.
Johnny turns and powers away. A corporal stands above the first burning wagon and pours small buckets of water over it. The angry flames are barely dented and continue to lick up the side of the fort. The corporal is hit by an arrow and falls to his death. The second wagon, raging orange flames roaring from it, is again pulled by a lone rider, who in turn is followed by several other Indian braves. Inside the fort, a couple stand kissing by a horse. Johnny leaps onto the horse and rides away. The cavalry are close behind him. They charge out through the gates. The watchtower above the burning wagon in the side of the fort collapses. Outside the walls, cavalry soldiers on foot and those on horseback shoot bravely at the attacking Indians. Johnny, out in the field with them, stops and watches the approach of the second burning wagon. He gees up his horse and rides to intercept it. Johnny tugs at the reins of the horse pulling the wagon and fells both the horse and its rider. The flaming wagon topples onto its side and Johnny rides away. Shooting at the Indians as they go, Johnny and the cavalry gallop back towards the fort. As Johnny speeds past Briggs's camera, he leans down over the side of his horse and snatches it up. Those inside the fort cover them, picking off the Indians one by one. Soon Johnny and the cavalry are safely back inside and the fort gates are closed behind them. Johnny rides straight across to Briggs and hands him his camera. Stunned, Briggs stands up and stares after him. The cavalry continues to shoot from inside the walls of the fort and gradually the Indians start to retreat. Inside the fort, the men look around them unsurely as the onslaught from the Indians appears to stop. A sinister hush descends and the Indians disappear as they appeared in a cloud of dust. Darkness falls and the battered fort is peaceful once again. A few wagons still smoke gently under the night sky. Johnny strides across to Trask's quarters.
Fox!
I'd like to make my report on the battle, sir.
We saw the battle.
The one that's coming up.
I see no reason to listen to him.
Go ahead, Hawks.
They'll start up the fire arrows again. They'll keep them up all night. In the morning at dawn, just as the sun hits us in the eyes, they'll attack in full force from the east. We haven't got a chance.
What do you suggest?
I'm asking permission to leave the fort.
To go for reinforcements?
It's too late for that.
Then what do you want to do? Get back to your Indian friends?
Yes.
What for?
I think I can find Todd and Shivington.
I'm not interested in Todd or Shivington.
That's our only chance.
Get back to your post.
Captain Trask, there's only one way for the people here to come out alive. If we can hand over to Red Cloud the men who killed his brother.
I don't want to hear any more of your Indian palavering. You led that wagon train into their hands. You deserted your post. You're responsible for what happened. If any of us get out of this alive, I'll see that you pay for it, Mr. Indian fighter.
Indian fighter, hell, Indian lover.
Get back to your post.
Trask glowers at Johnny, who has grabbed hold of Blake. Johnny slowly releases Blake and glances round at Trask, then goes. Outside Trask's quarters, some settlers stand by a burnt-out wagon. They blank Johnny, staring coldly at him. Johnny glances towards the braying horse, then steps towards the settlers. He stops briefly and eyes them, before walking on. As he's on his way to one of the platforms at the side of the fort, Susan calls out to him.
Johnny!
Stopping at the bottom of the ladder, he smiles and goes over to her.
I didn't think anyone was talking to me.
Sorry what the men did to you.
I had it coming.
Russ Jenkins says we'll all be dead by morning.
Well, don't you believe everything Russ Jenkins tells you. You take good care of your mom.
You going away?
For a while.
Where are you going, Johnny?
Finish your job. Make sure you get to Oregon.
Wish you wouldn't go.
Johnny wouldn't go unless he had to.
I don't want him to go. Can't he take us to Oregon and stay with us?
I can't, Tommy.
Why not?
Because he's an Indian fighter, that's why.
Take good care of your ma.
He starts to go.
Johnny.
Susan gets to her feet and goes to him. She kisses him firmly on the mouth.
You'll come through all right. You're a hard fellow to catch, Johnny Hawks.
She stares after him as he turns and heads up the ladder. Her eyes follow him as he walks along the platform. Trask and Blake come out of their quarters and are saluted by a soldier. Looking around them, they stroll across the yard. Up on the platform, Johnny vaults over the spiked wall of the fort.
Let's go to the stockade!
A soldier races along the stockade.
It's Johnny Hawk!
Johnny sprints away.
Shoot! Shoot him! Shoot! I knew he was yellow, running away, saving his hide.
Trask.
What's going on?
It's Johnny Hawks running off to join his Indian friends.
Put up that gun.
Trask pulls the gun away from Blake.
warned you a week ago to get reinforcements from Laramie. But you listened to him telling you what fine people his Indians are. Now he's running away, leaving us here to die. We'll all be scalped just like Schaefer was.
Trask slaps him.
Sorry, sir.
Johnny, cowering behind part of a felled tree trunk, lifts his head and dashes away into the night. Johnny runs tentatively towards a teepee at the Indian camp. A brave armed with a spear paces up and down on the other side of the teepee. Johnny cuts his way into the teepee and climbs carefully through the hole. He glances round at a squaw sleeping nearby, then creeps over to Anati, who lies in her bed sleeping soundly. As he kneels beside her, she lifts her head.
Johnny.
He covers her mouth.
Anati, I need your help. Your father's attacking the fort in the morning.
You must go.
It'll be a massacre. It's got to be stopped.
It's too late.
It can't be. Take me to the place where the gold comes from.
You want the gold?
No. I want two white men who've gone there. I must get them and hand them over to Red Cloud.
I was warned not to tell.
Take me there.
I'm afraid.
Onari, the massacre must be stopped. Or there'll never be a life for us. You and me.
They gaze into each other's eyes.
Trust me.
As daylight begins to dawn, Johnny, still travelling bareback on the black and white horse, rides with Onati up the side of a mountain. They stop next to a gushing waterfall and dismount. As Onati goes to follow Johnny, he gestures for her to stay back. She watches as he edges warily towards the waterfall, then starts to follow him. Johnny lifts up his hand and she pauses again. He continues on his way, stepping gingerly across the boulders beneath the waterfall. He then stops behind a large rock jutting out from the side of the mountain and watches Shivy and Wes.
Powder's all in.
All right, we'll set her off.
How much gold do you figure we can blast out of here?
Don't move, Wes. Drop your gun belt.
Johnny steps towards them.
I thought you might be here ahead of us, partner. What took you so long?
I was delayed. Little Indian trouble.
Oh, too bad.
Left in a hurry, didn't you?
Yeah, we didn't even have time to say goodbye.
You left something behind.
Johnny Chucks wears his gold medallion.
Grey Wolf was holding that for you.
Come on now, Johnny, put up your gun. There's plenty here for the three of us.
I'm not here for gold. Just for you two nuggets. Come on.
Where are we going, Johnny? To the captain again and tell him we shot another Indian in self-defense?
I'm going to let you tell it to Red Cloud.
Can't do that.
Oh, yes, I can.
They'll burn us alive.
We'll be burning in a good cause.
I didn't kill him. West did.
Keep moving.
We're all equal partners in this. You get your share. If you don't trust us, we'll give you your share first. There's nothing to worry about.
Wes turns, pushing Shivy into Johnny. He grabs a lantern and flings it down at the dynamite. Shivy and Johnny are caught in the explosion as Wes makes his escape.
Onati.
From the enormous cloud of smoke to find Wes lying unconscious on the ground and Onati standing over him with a rock in her hand. She drops the rock and smiles at Johnny, who grins back at her. Later, Onati and Johnny ride with Wes tied to a horse between them. Up above them, an Indian brave aims a gun at them. Onati cups her hands over her mouth and calls out to him. The Indian brave rushes away and leaps onto his horse, which is tethered next to another, a second Indian already on its back. The two of them ride hastily down to Onati, and the party rides on. One of the braves leads, and the other takes up the rear. At the Indian camp, Red Cloud, still wearing his ceremonial headdress and war paint, takes slow, deliberate steps through the trees as Onati and the others approach. Johnny moves ahead of the others and dismounts, his eyes fixed on Red Cloud, he strides towards him. Stopping at a respectful distance in front of the Indian chief, he points towards Wes.
This is the man who killed your brother, Grey Wolf.
You fought my brother for his life.
I was wrong. Take him now and stop the massacre.
Do you think he is worth Grey Wolf?
Red Cloud gestures for Wes to be taken away.
Johnny! You're a white man! Don't let them do it! They'll burn me! Johnny, take me to the
Where did you find him this time?
Onati wanders across to them.
place of the Yellow Iron.
Who took you there?
I did.
You?
Yes, Father.
You took the oath of death.
Johnny points at her.
Your own daughter. You'd kill her.
Is she any different than others of my people?
Very different. Because she is, maybe someday there'll be a lasting peace between your people and mine.
Wes, held by two Indians, breaks free and makes a run for it. He's shot in the back by a flaming arrow.
The others will not die so easily. My brother will be avenged.
Burn all those at the fort. Will your brother live again? Will his spirit be happy that another war started?
Yes. We will fight to the end. That was my brother's cry. It is mine now. We fight to the end.
The end of the red men. The white man armies will stamp you out. Build towns on your hunting grounds. Shoot down those who are left like animals.
He slaps Johnny.
Your words do not frighten me.
When you make your war, Red Cloud, then tell me, on which side will our son fight?
Onati moves to stand beside Johnny, her hands resting on his arm.
I'm sure that some days you'll give me a son. This will be the long war. All of us who stand here now will have gone to join your brother before peace lives again between red man and white.
Onati and Johnny stare steadily at Red Cloud. He meets their gaze, his lined eyes heavy with woe. At the fort, the cavalry raise their guns as they see a cloud of dust appear on the horizon.
Here they come.
The settlers move into position. Buckets are filled with water from a trough. Those inside the fort watch nervously, their guns ready as the long line of Indians seems to change direction.
They're turning off.
The men look unsure.
They're going away!
The settlers, men, women and children, run across the fort and race up the ladder to the platform to take a look for themselves. Susan and Will join Trask and Blake.
Well, I'll be...
The Indians are leaving!
He did it.
They stare in wonderment as the Indians ride away, distant specks on the horizon, shrouded by a faint cloud of dust. Under a pale blue sky, the wagon train wends its way through the seemingly endless countryside. They travel past the river, where Johnny and Onati swim naked, broad smiles on their elated faces. The end. ITFC audio description was by Lonnie Evans and Amy DeLarabiti.